Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Come see us.
Eric Meehan is here with us.
Yes.
Your musical selection for the day.
This is the great Deke Dickerson. No one knows Deke Dickerson, but a tremendous, as you can tell, steel and country player. Mm. And this is a track called Fortified Wine.
Nice.
It's relevant.
Sure is.
We're going to talk about fortified wine, but this is a minute long. It's just brilliant. There it is. Deke Dickerson.
I feel fortified already.
All right. So here's the other thing, by the way. First of all, you talked to Paul Dooley. Very cool.
Yeah.
Utterer of one of my favorite things in the world. He's in all the Christopher Guest movies. Even if his scene got cut, he's definitely in them. But in A Mighty Wind, he talks about finding the sound he had been searching for in his head. A nuftet. Nine people singing together. And I was an acapella dork and all that. So that just, I lost it. And that man is just, he's a funny, funny man.
He's guy's great. And yeah, how old he is?
He can't be young because he's always been old in every movie.
But he doesn't sound at all. He's 91.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Lucid. Oh, alive.
Yeah.
Forget lucid. Funny. Alive.
Funny, funny. And still working.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That's, I hope he doesn't need to. You know,
that's
what I always fear about. And these character actors, I'm like, I hope you're getting paid. But I figure ultimately, if you're a great character actor, you probably get a gazillion checks a week. Because movies are always on everything.
What did William Sanderson say yesterday? You know, what'd you get from Deadwell? A new house.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think that's great. By the way, I got to pick up that book. Speaking of which, another guy who's
so
that
good.
Guy. He's on. I love that no one's ever used that title for a book. I'm the guy. Yeah, you are.
And he wanted to do that, and the publishers are like, nah.
Yeah, do it.
Stuck with it.
It's
just
brilliant.
For the Elvis stories alone, it's worth it.
Cool. I'm going to have to pick that up because we're getting into summertime, some summer reads and things like that. I'm currently reading David Mamet's Chicago. I'm shy. Every time I mention David Mamet to people, they have no idea who I'm talking about. I'm sure your next guest will, because he knows everything about every movie ever written, apparently. But some good stuff there. We're getting back to why we're here. Fortified wine. So today we've been talking all month about appellations, right? Because we're about to head into, in June and the rest of the year, the world of wine, you know, kind of exploring everything. And we kind of need to know, as we explore the world, why certain places do certain things. And is it tradition? Is it locked in stone? Is it not locked in stone? If not, why not? And a lot of those locked in stone-isms come from what we're talking about this month, which is the regions where things come from and who decided and why did they decide what those regions stood for, meant, etc. The region we're talking about today and the wine we're talking about today is certainly one of those regions that is famous, and it's certainly one of those regions for which you might not know why it's famous, but you've definitely heard the name, like me and the Kardashians. I have no idea why they're famous, but I know they are. However, I'm going to put forth that port is more important than the Kardashians in the grand idiom. That's just one man's opinion. And it's also a name that means different things in different parts of the world. And perhaps we'll talk about that because, of course, you know, when we've been talking about appellations, which is, you know, certain things being called what they are and why and legally and all this sort of mumble jumble. So we're talking again today about the region of port. What is port? It's a lot of different things. Port itself is a city. I guess we can start there. It's the city of Oporto. And no, it's not the same word as port. Bear with me. What is port? Port is a region. It's a demarcated region that includes a huge, big valley system nowhere near the town of the city of port, way upstream. Obviously terraced and founded by the Romans because they did all that nonsense. But that's the Douro Valley. That's part of port. Nowhere near the city, which, as we've been talking about all month, you know, the vineyards around a certain city or around a certain town are allowed to use that city's name of it. Not the case here. Not what we're talking about. Port is also aged not in Oporto, aged across the river in a place called Vila Nova de Gaia. That's also part of port. What is port? In other parts of the world, port has nothing to do with Oporto or the Douro Valley or anything else. Only in the EU is port Oporto, the Douro Valley, and Vila Nova de Gaia. Everywhere else, it's a style of wine that is created when you harvest grapes and you start them fermenting, and then you stop them from fermenting by using a neutral grape spirit in Portugal called aguardiente, and it preserves a lot of the sugars of that grape. They're not allowed to ferment out, and it obviously also raises the alcohol level, fortifying the wine, hence fortified wine. And yes, there are other fortified wines. We'll get to that. That's an asterisk. But you're creating a wine that in all parts of the world is known as a port-style wine. Good. Confused? Good. Yes. Me too. All right. Well, we're going to drink some port, and hopefully that'll sort everything out. The port we're drinking today, by the way, is another style of port that you may not know exists. It's a white port. And it isn't particularly white in color either, by the way. But it's a white port, and yes, those exist, and yes, they're wonderful as we're getting into these warmer days, and I swear they're coming. So, lots to sort of cover here. Okay, let me take a step back. Port, as I said, is a recognized protected appellation only within the EU, okay? Whereas in the U.S., fortified wine in the style of port from anywhere can be called port, and it's a style that's spread everywhere because, frankly, it's pretty easy to make, and especially in places where maybe you had heat problems, like Australia, which is very well known for making port-style wines, or at least was. They weren't particularly good, but they were port-style wines in a very, very hot region. Or anywhere, really, where you're trying to grow grapes and maybe they're not making it to full ripeness, but you don't really care. You're not trying to get them to full ripeness. You're just trying to get them as ripe as possible, and then you're going to cut them with some brandy and probably add sugar and do whatever you can. So the concept of a fortified wine that is basically trying to harvest a little bit of juiciness from a grape and a little bit of sugar and a lot of alcohol, that can be achieved pretty much everywhere. So it's a style of wine, you must understand, that really kind of took hold because people wanted to get their drink on, and really fine wine was not as easy to come by as really easy ways to cut wine with, you know, brandy and maybe chapitalize, which is the adding of sugar. And then there you go. Then you got your buzz on. So it spread, you know, obviously. But as I said, real port from Portugal comes from grapes from the Douro Valley. And as I mentioned, that's way, way up river on the Douro River, which in Spain is the Duero River. And we've talked about certain wine regions along there. Obviously, the Tempranillo grape was a big deal there. And in Portugal, that's still a big time grape. It's called Tintoroitz. But you also see a lot of other well-known grapes. There's actually over 100 grapes that are allowed to be used in port. And doesn't this sort of sound familiar from everything we've talked about all over the years? You know, all these different grapes being allowed. But as is typical, there's really only about 5 grapes that you typically see in most ports. Those being the Tintoroitz, the Tempranillo that I just mentioned. Excuse me. Tinta Barroca, Tinta Cao, Torriga Francesca, and Torriga Nacional. Those are the big ones. Those are not the big ones in white port, by the way. Those are the big ones in all the red ports and stuff that you see. And red ports is obviously the far, far, you know, 96% of what's made. So that's the big stuff. And then the grapes are harvested, and sometimes back in the day, they were put into barcos. Barcos are big, flat-bottomed barges that would take them down the river. Unfortunately, the advent of hydroelectricity and dams along the Douro River sort of ended the barcos thing, and so today they use big old tanker trucks, which is less romantic, but it's what it is. So there you go. So they took him down river, and they go to the city of Oporto, and they make the wine, and they cut it, and they kind of it hangs out there, and then they transfer it over across the bay, as I said, to this town of Vila Nova de Gaia, and that is where you see all these big, huge port lodges. With all the famous names on them that you'll know. And that is where they're aged and then eventually sent out into the world. So why is it called port? Because it's a port. And because things from Oporto, the British were especially guilty of this, they really liked their wine from there. So they brought it in and they just dubbed it port. So that's why we call it port. Ta-da! It's pretty simple, but we're a simple people, let's be honest. Interestingly enough, again, talking about what is port, well, if we're really talking about port, port is actually the third oldest protected limited region in the world. It was created in 1756. The only older ones, interestingly enough, are Chianti, which we've certainly talked about, and the Hungarian region of Tokaj, which is a very famous sweet wine that if I could afford to bring it on this program and open it for Rich and Carrie, I would, but it's frightfully expensive, and I love them, but, you know.
Not that much.
I'm just saying. But the Tokaj, if you come across it, really good examples are absolutely exquisite. Port sales have been in decline since about 15 years now. Why? Well, millennials don't really get it, which is why the example wine today is kind of cool. As I said, it's a white port. Great for using in refreshing cocktails. Throw it in some Prosecco or some bubbly. Maybe, you know, try it with some bitters. All sorts of really interesting things. I know a lot of restaurants throughout Maine and throughout the world have been trying to, you know, and of course, a lot of the port companies have been trying to push them to do that. So check it out next time you're out at your favorite restaurant with a good mixologist and say, hey, you know, do you have any port cocktails? It might surprise you, and you might find something you like. The wine we're drinking today is the Donna Antonia Reserva Branco, so white reserve. Obviously, a really beautiful sort of an orangey dark hue in color now. But really delightful and fresh and full of fruit that's, flavors.
That's very good.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, huh? Lots more to learn about port, but I am, of course, running out of time as I do have a tendency to prattle on. But come on into the store. We can show you what we have. We have some interesting examples in all price points and all styles, and there are lots of styles. White, ruby, tawny, late bottle, vintage, all sorts of stuff.
We have a new website as well.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me. We do have a new website, Bangor Wine and Cheese, all words, bangorwineandcheese.com. It is really nifty. There's a super cool keg searcherator and all sorts of other stuff. So whatever you need, go there. Our tasting in June will be on the 16th. We are still trying to line that up because the tasting I was hoping for fell through, and hopefully we're going to schedule it for July. But really, really good stuff still on the, it's, you know, getting people up to Bangor in summer. You'd think it'd be easier, eh? We'll work on it for you. Yeah. We'll see you here next time. Cheers.
Happy birthday to Nella, too.
Thank you. Happy birthday, boo.